We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Gridiron Podcast, Timmy Chang edition, physically distant, but perhaps never closer. The head coach, Jay Norvell, the Hall of Famer, Mike Edwards. Timmy Chang, whose titles are an evolution, and we'll list those in a moment. And me, I'm John Ramey. Coach Chang, what are your titles now? I know, I think Coach Norvell made you a director, but bring me up to speed, please.
I still got the tight end room. Okay. And you know, we've added some analytical parts to my title as far as you know, just preparing for teams and getting defenses dialed in and getting game plans dialed in and to what we're going to see. And so, you know, it's actually been a really busy quarantine/spring for me and the rest of our young staff. You know, and I'm talking Gunner White, GA, Brett, he's a new quality control guy that we have. And Clayton Webb, another GA of ours. We've been just kind of putting together our system on how we're going to break down teams and what we're going to do and how we're looking at them. And so, you know, we're preparing for the first four games. We're getting ourselves very organized you know, getting a system down where it's just clockwork and it's all, everything's in place by the time we hit the ground running.
One of the things that, you know, when I was interviewing all these coaches this off season, I got familiar with what some of the top programs are doing with their staff. And, you know, it's so valuable having guys that have so many different skills on your staff. And Timmy's one of those guys. I mean, he's coaching our tight end, but he understands quarterbacks. He understands overall offense. He understands special teams. He understands everything, you know, and so – one of the things that we really felt like we needed to improve was our football development. And so, you know, Timmy is the director of our football development as far as the offense is concerned. And so he's got a staff of guys. You know, Brett Bartoloni was a receiver at Washington State. and coached there as a graduate assistant. He's our new offensive assistant. And so Timmy's kind of in charge of him and Gunnar White and Clayton Webb, and they're doing all our advanced scouting, you know, all of our advanced scouting for upcoming opponents, which is pretty challenging this year because we got all these teams that are have coaches from different places. And so, and then doing our self-scout. And so we, you know, in the sport of football, there's so many situations that you have to study for to prepare before you play that that's been really, it's been a busy off season, like Timmy says, but it's been really good. And they're doing a great job, you know, putting all that information together.
Just thinking about the, I'm sorry, Mike, I know you, I'll let you talk. Just thinking about football, because there's so much preparation and so little competition relative to the other sports, the other team sports. I know no sport is prepared for a pandemic, but in a sense, are you guys as a staff already kind of prepared to just be very granular about organizational and administrative things before guys even get on the field anyway? Because that's how you're calendar kind of works.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, Timmy, I don't know if you want to chime in on that, but yes, you know, so many things in our sport are predictable. I mean, we pretty much know how many plays we're going to have in a game. We, you know, we pretty much know how many third downs there's going to be. We pretty much know how many short yardage plays we're going to be able to run in a game. And so, and then really, if you know, I worked with Al Davis, and Al Davis had, he believed you work backwards. So he started with the end in mind and then worked backwards all the way through the season, all the way through training camp, all the way through the summer. And so everything you do is building up to the end. And so we kind of know, we know how many games we're going to play, and we know who we're going to play. So it's basically filling in the cracks of the things we don't know. And we want to practice against the things that percentage wise, there's a good chance that we're going to see. And so, you know, and that's really important because you only have so much time to practice. And then you have to, the other part of that is the self-scout. And why don't you tell them about that, Timmy? You know, that's a huge part of, you know, what we need to understand as a team.
Well, okay, with the self-scout, it's, you know, kind of knowing when you kind of figure out coordinators and defenses and schemes, you know, you start to figure out the type of play caller you're up against, the challenge that's presented to you. And so really, you know, you put your body of work on film, everybody watches it. There's a bunch of analytical data, like Coach says, a lot of percentages, a lot of statistics. And then, you know, a defensive caller will call his defense or put his base defense up and maybe tweak some things in order to stop you. And so, like, if we're throwing the ball to, you know, Romeo Doubs, you know, 80% of the time on third down, then, you know, then there might be a big statistic where, okay, well, we're going to start guarding or double teaming him. So we take that third away. And so now, you know, you use that chess match, you know. I think one thing that that Coach Norvell and I are on the same page, and why I love working for Coach, is that organization and being ahead of the game is on the forefront of our minds every time. Like right now we're in the process of trying to get guys back and try to be on the forefront of when this thing opens back up. You know, everything is properly organized and just put into place. You know, the challenges where all us assistant coaches come in is where, you know, we got to take all this data, all this information, all our scheme of what we want to do and put it against what the defense wants to do and really get our guys to, you know, gel together and get all 11 guys on the same page and try to accomplish a goal at one play at a time. And so, you know, the organization part of it, Coach Norvell has been doing an awesome job. And we've been on the forefront of of every, you know, on every single thing, we've been on the forefront of things and try to stay a step ahead of the game. And, you know, he's hired some unbelievable guys on defense. I mean, we, you know, this offseason for us, you know, we got to look at a lot of what the best coordinators in the country are doing, you know, from whether it's LSU, whether it's from different teams. And we've got to break down a lot of their things, what they look at. And so it really changed our outlook on how we perceive ourselves and moving forward with our program. It's just going to make us better.
No doubt.
Coach, about how long does it take? I mean, it's kind of a gray area, but how long does it take for you to scout like one team, like UC Davis, for example? I mean, you guys probably did that months ago, but in your general time frame, how long would it take from beginning to end to be prepared mentally and on paper for that particular match?
Okay, so what happened was when we we're doing some different analytical things, that some different programs that we've added to our existing program. So it's kind of helped us this time away, and this time just kind of breaking down the games has really helped us because it slowed it down, and then we started to realize some of the holes in our planning that we could fix and clean up and put together and put this thing down the way we really wanted it and cover every single basis. So UC Davis, to be honest with you, has taken 10 weeks of quarantine to finally get there on paper. Now, the thing about it is that, you know, in between when figuring this out, we figured out that we had to do a self-scout. So we had to go back and finish out a self-scouting report. And then on top of that, we got all our information and our data and how we want to save it and store it away so that when we play each week in and week out, you know, you're not going to have 10 weeks to prepare for one team. But we got the system to where, you know, in 2 days, we should have a team and ourselves already broken down and ready for the next opponent. So, you know, these 10, 11 weeks that we've taken the time to just kind of put everything in order. And like Coach said, the first couple games are very challenging. We're playing a guy that a defensive coordinator. That's the first time he's going to be an assistant coach. He's going to have his own room. He's been a quality control guy at Boise State and at Oregon. And so it presents its own challenges. You know, he's never called a defense before. And then the next guy, our Arkansas opponent, he's been a head coach and he hasn't called a game since 2015 and 2016 and some other times. And so, we're supposed to play in 0 weeks. So, no, we're not going to get to see what Arkansas does, but they're going to get to see our self-scouting and what we do and what we put on film. And so, the first two games right out the gate, definitely challenging. And then we move on to UTEP and South Florida, but, definitely some challenges ahead, but, you know, I like our guys. I like our staff. I like our leader. And, you know, I think we're going to be okay when it's all said and done.
You know, one of the challenges is, you know, as coaches, you know, you want to be simple enough to be able to execute, but you don't want to have such strong tendencies that people really know what you're doing. So it's a balance. You know, you want to execute at a high level. You want your guys to really know what you're doing and be simple, but at the same time, and one of the biggest problems coaches can do is try to do too much, you know, and you know, rush into the meeting room and try to come up with a new idea. And, you know, I had an old coach, Tom Moore, he used to call it the flavor of the week. You know, he goes, we're not going to be one of them flavor of the week teams where we always change what we do every week. And so there's a balance there. You want to do enough to keep the opponent off balance, but at the same time, you want it to be familiar with your players so they execute and know exactly how what to do. So that, to me, is always the challenge. And you know, different coaches do it different ways. And, you know, but I think it's important to look at the whole season, you know, and then kind of imagine how you're going to progress as a team as you go through the season and how you're going to set up different opponents by what you do. And so that's, you know, when you when you coach a while, you kind of understand that this is, hey, we got 12 games. This is where we want to be as we move along. And so it's a lot of fun. You know, it's a lot of fun. You know, you got to go into one game knowing that you're going to show them something. And then when you go play the next opponent, you got to have ways to counter the things that you've shown. So it's fun when you look at it that way. And that's the fun of football, you know. And you may go through some situations, you know, you might go through a whole season and not use a 2-point play. You know, you might go through a whole season and use 2 short yardage plays the whole year. You know, so certain situations just don't come up that often, and you don't need a big volume of plays for those situations. And then some situations happen a lot. So it's really important that you do enough so your kids can be dialed in, but you don't do too much. And that's one of the beauties that I think, you know, that like a guy like Mike Leach and those people, I mean, Mike does not do a lot of different things. When I was with the Colts, you know, the year the Colts won the Super Bowl after I left, I talked to Tom Moore, their coordinator, and he said, "Jay, we did less this year than we did all the other years." And it was because the guys knew it. They were confident in it, and they didn't need to do a lot. And so it's always that balance you're always fighting for and trying to be efficient and to master what you do.
All right, so I love this concept about football, and it was all over that book, The Perfect Pass, about Hal Mumme's system, the air raid. You like binary decision-making in your offense, go, no go, right? If you ever seen the space movies when they're getting ready to shoot the rocket, it's go or no go, you know? And so you're thinking about
just like
that
yesterday.
Yeah, exactly. They had to scrub. Yeah.
No go.
They had I'll give you the breakdown. They had a very narrow launch window. They wanted to delay till the weather would pass, but that would take them out of their launch window. So it was no go. They scrubbed. But, you know, you got to have clarity if you're doing something complicated.
No doubt.
So tell me, Timmy Chang, tell me about, is there binary decision-making in the system you played with Coach Jones and how it kind of compares to the Wolfpack system?
Many similarities. Of course, you're gonna notice the 4 receiver sets. The quarterback always in shotgun. Me and Hal got a chance to work together at SMU, and June brought in Hal as the pass game coordinator. It was interesting to see the two guys talk in a room because the theories. You know, when Hal took a step on the side, said, "Well, you guys are doing this. We're just calling it." You know, we're calling a vertical game 6 call. You're calling it streak, you know. And so they had so many similarities in it. You know, I think the thing that kind of separated the two was the difference in how they utilized the back and the protections they used. You know, the run and shoot really just relied on 4 receivers. They really didn't get the back out much. If you watch Mike Leach and you watch us, and you know, you're going to see us throwing the ball to the back a lot more and releasing the back and getting them out into space. And, really, you know, you listen and you talk to those two guys, they'll say when you throw the ball to the back, it's just like a handoff, or if you throw the ball to the flat route and the run and shoot concept, it's an extension of a run. You know, you're just really getting a skill guy out in space, but it's like a toss. And so, you know, those guys both joked around about never throwing the ball, never running the ball in the game ever. You know, they try to challenge each other who can go in the game without ever running the ball one time. And so it was interesting to see and be around those guys because, you know, really they were so innovative and went against the grain a little bit so that – you know, I like to think of them as, you know, pioneers, you know. You know, no one said you know, the knock on me when I came out in after college was I was always in shotgun. Well, I came out at the same draft with Aaron Rodgers and Alex Smith. And, you know, those guys played, you know, they played for Tedford and good coaches. But those guys were underneath the center. And when you look at their games now today, a lot of the times they're in shotgun. You know, there's a lot of spread sets now. And so, you know, those guys were ahead of the game. And really, it's a fun – this offense is such a fun offense to be a part of, the air raid. And I tell Matt – I tell Coach Mummy that all the time. I go, this air raid system, I mean, it's exciting. You know, you're throwing the ball around and you're getting guys in space and the ball's going up and it's a fast-paced game. And so it's fun to watch, you know. And I believe that when I was playing and with June, it was also fun to watch, you know, just teams just throw the ball around.
I can confirm it was fun to watch.
Yeah. Coach Chang is fun to watch.
Yes, I can confirm that.
No, one of the things – and it's been interesting for me, John, because – you know, I spent so much time in West Coast and a lot of what Hal took came from BYU, but he was also influenced by the run and shoot. I mean, he was influenced by Miles Davis and what is it, Tiger Ellison, I think it was, and June. And so even Hal has taken some concepts from the run and shoot, especially adjusting routes and reading coverage that were run and shoot concepts. And I just think it, the fun part about it is that, you know, there's concepts from the West Coast, there's concepts from run and shoot. And, you know, one of the things I haven't even had a chance to talk to Timmy about this, but one of the things I was meeting with the quarterbacks the other day, and as guys, you know, a freshman last year, as guys start to get older, the game simplifies for them. And I think the challenge is making the game simple in your decision-making, because we all know a guy, there's a certain look that a player has when he's doing something confidently. And you know, that's one of the things that I was talking to Carson about yesterday. I said, we got to have black and white decision-making. I mean, you got to know that if I see this, I want to do that. And that comes from experience. And, you know, we're talking about eliminating all the yeah buts from the decision making. There's no yeah buts. I mean, and that comes also from giving a kid a checklist of I'm looking at this first, I'm looking at that next, I'm looking at this. And that's it. You know, that was one of the things I loved about when I was with the Colts, and I always talk about Tom Moore, but I just think Tom Moore was a genius of offensive football. But in almost every play, there was a three-step decision that you could make. I mean, you could run it, you could throw it, or you could throw a couple different kinds, where you could run it inside, you can run it outside, or you could throw it. And those are the type of decision makings that I think, you know, that Carson and our quarterbacks are starting to get. And because, you know, you can see a quarterback's body language when he's doing something with confidence. You can just see it. And he throws the ball confidently. He hands it off confidently. He's got a body language that's just unmistakable. And that's where I think we're going to see our guys take another step this year, and being able to handle all of those things that a second-year starter can handle.
Coach Chang.
Yes.
Speaking of all these offensive plays, what's your top three plays that you liked or loved as being behind the center as a player? And then flip the tables as a coach. What's your top three, or one or two, I guess, as coaching your whole different realm? Quarterbacks, tight ends, inside receivers, that type of thing.
You know, for me, all right, I'll tell you what my favorite route was, the flat route in the run and shoot concept. It's where the slot route, if he runs, you know, he goes at, he aims at about 3 yards to the sideline, and it's a challenging throw because you only can put it in one place, and that's underneath his chin and his face, and to keep him in stride. And if you do that and you get it out quick, one, you're not gonna take a beating and a pounding in there. You're making a quick decision. Two, you're getting it to your one of your best playmakers, and now they got to go run and tackle him. And so there's a lot of good things, positives that come out of it, right? That was my favorite route to throw. Okay, so anything with a flat route, anything that got the ball out of my hand quick, I loved. I also loved the vertical routes, and I would waste throws, meaning that I would challenge corners to cover. I would challenge safeties to play their deep half or their deep fourth of the field just to back them off because I knew I wanted to come back underneath. You know, I would push them off and make sure, hey, I'm going to check on you. I'm going to make sure you're running. You better run and take off with my guy. And if you don't, we're going to have six. It's going to be fast. Or after that, and then I would waste a throw, and then I'd come back all underneath and just start dinking and diming again until they came back up, and then you go back over their head. Now, you know, I told you the story about Hal and June wanting to throw the ball all the time. Well, for me personally, I really have a great grasp on the game and learning it as a coach and being under a lot of great minds, you know, I really like running the ball. You know, that, you know, I like the cat and mouse. I love knowing what they're trying to do and how to defend it. And if they don't got all their gaps covered, then we're running the ball. Or my guys are just tougher than your guys, and you got to stop them. You know, my running back's tougher than my tackle is going to beat up on your end. Yeah, you can't put a small guy over there. We're going to keep running that side. You know, you're going to have to bring help. And then now you play the numbers game. And so for me, you know, it's the whole overall game. You know, I love the verticals. I love the flat route. You know, zone concepts, you got, you know, it, you know, it's, you know, from all and being around you guys, you know, Mike, it's learning the pistol zone. You know, learning the counter, learning the power, learning the downhill fundamental runs, you know, the pin and pull. I mean, it's been awesome to be here and feel, you know, when we see alumni, that's what this program's built on. It's built on the downhill run, you know. And so, you know, we don't forget that as coaches, and Vi won't let us forget it, you know. So it's been for us, we have all these, the beauty about it is that you got all these different minds inside this room, you know? And so, we're equipped to kind of put together some really, really good things. I can't wait to play this 2020 season, to be honest. Yeah.
You can't wait to watch it.
Yeah.
Super excited. I mean, you guys have your whole offense is back. I mean, you guys have a great amount of repertoire and weapons in that, you know, the air raid and the downhill run, and looking forward to that. And you talked about cat and mouse game. How's the Chang household hanging in there? Guys, it's a numbers game, coach, and I don't know. I mean, you got to play zone, right? You and your lovely wife got to play zone with the knuckleheads.
I honestly close the door at 9 o'clock, and I can just hear all the restlessness for. It's trying to do a 9 to 12 school schedule every single day, and so I stay out of it. And I hear mommy going at it. I mean, she's definitely the rock. I mean, our wives are, you know, and not just mine, but our whole staff. I mean, the wives are definitely the rocks of the family, and they hold it down. And us being home, you know, it's been really helpful, you know, because we can you know. Well, as a coach, we get to build relationships with not only our players, but even our kids and the kids that we recruit, the kids that are here in our program, you know, our first class is about, some of these kids are about to graduate. And so, you know, it's been humbling, but we're all family. And, you know, my wife knows my tight ends and knows our players and stuff. And so it's been a tight knit family, but this time here has been, it's been precious, man. If you know, not to say that this is definitely a bad situation for all of us, and we, you know, we're all praying that something happens that for the good of us. But there's some really good things that came out of this time of being together, and so the Chang household is nuts, though.
Hey, we're running man to man. We had 2-2, but you guys got to run zone up in there, right? Oh. That zone concept working well.
That's 4-on-2 at Chang House, yeah. Right?
Yeah, 4-on-2, man. Oh man. They're outside. I don't know. Last time I seen them, they had water guns in their hands, and so I just said, "I'm going upstairs. I got a staff meeting and this." And a great interview coming, so.
Water guns and heat. That's what my kids are doing yesterday. We had a water balloon fight with the kids across the street. So my arm's a little sore, but, you know, put it to them a little good.
Right. That's how you're handling the quarantine, Mike?
That's it.
Pegging younger children to water balloons. That's good.
Curveball, a helicopter rotation.
Mike's the big kid who picks on all the little kids in the neighborhood.
Get real close and throw it real hard. Freeze those water balloons, right?
It's just like you teeing off on a cornerback on a screen pass.
Oh yeah, I love it. Come around on the counter.
I want and you can leave yourself out of this, but I want a top three ranking, and include yourself if you want, of all time Hawaii quarterbacks.
All time quarterbacks.
Hot seat.
Oh, that's a good question. I have to go with I would have to go with Colt Brennan, number one. You know, he did an interview yet the other day, and he was a great quarterback. Gosh, you know, it's easy when I made the commitment to stay home. It was more about the offense. It was more about the situation, and so, you know, It helped a lot of other people kind of stay home, and then a lot of recruits. But they, when they got him and the receivers and the program they had in place, I mean, he just set it off. I don't know if the Hawaii will ever go 12-0 again. Garrett Gabriel was another childhood quarterback that his son Dylan is the quarterback at UCF right now. He would be number two for me, and he was a Hawaii guy that stayed home and competed the spot. The other quarterback I would say is I wouldn't put myself on this. I put Nick Rolovich on the list. Nick's last four games of the season were probably the hottest numbers and the best football play I've ever seen a quarterback do it. So what happened was I got injured my sophomore year and I tore my wrist and coach kept me on the sideline and I didn't get surgery right away because we didn't really know what it was. But Nick took over and went 8-1 that season after we went 1-2, and his last four games is like, I don't know if you guys can pull up the stats, but it is mind blowing what he did. But the thing that I noticed at practice though was that the ball never touched the ground, and so when I saw that, and then we played 11-0 BYU at the time, and BYU came into our stadium. You can watch the games on YouTube. They came into our stadium. They were suing the BCS for not inviting them to the game, to the BCS. They were so mad, and that was with Luke Staley and Brandon Dolman and Reno Mahe and some really good players. But they came in at 11-0, and they took a beating that game. But I think Nick threw for like 8 touchdowns or 7 touchdowns or something, 500 yards. It was the most amazing 4-week stretch I've seen. And we also played against like guys like Ben Roethlisberger that year. That he beat, Ben. It was like a 51-50 game, and Big Ben was at Miami of Ohio was probably one of the best quarterbacks I've seen live play the game besides Johnny Manziel, and he was unbelievable. I mean, the things that he does now, Pittsburgh, running around and spinning around in a circle and throwing the ball on the ball. He was doing that at Miami of Ohio, so. It was amazing. It was amazing. But that's how I know teams are good. That's why when we coach now and we see the ball hit the ground, you know your offense ain't there yet. So when the ball doesn't hit the ground in practice and you're throwing that ball in the 90 to 100 percentile, you know you're going to be cooking on Saturdays, and you know you got a really good team. You know you got a slinger in there, and you got some good guys running routes. And That's how I know that. And he'll tell you, Rolla will tell you the same.
All right. I just pulled up the numbers. Rolo's last three games of the 2001 season against Miami, Ohio, Air Force, and BYU, 500 yards, 505 yards, 543 yards. So he averaged more than 500 yards a game in those three games. Two interceptions against 20 touchdowns in three games.
Yeah. And that's the guy that takes Britney Spears to Las Vegas to meet Coach during the head coach's meeting. He's a clown. I mean, he's fun.
I stay away from him all the time. I stay away
from him. I can't wait to see what he does with the Pac-12 coaches.
I did like Elvis, though. Elvis was – that was cool. Britney, yeah. Stay away from him.
Rolo will be good in the Pac-12. He'll wake them up a bit. They're a little
they definitely got some characters.
Thanks for listening to this edition of the Gridiron Podcast. Thank you to Timmy Chang, the tight ends coach and director of football development. Thanks to the head coach Jay Norvell, Hall of Famer Mike Edwards. Shout out to Chad Hartley with a cameo and a great question for Timmy Chang, who of course is one of the great statistical all-time quarterbacks in the history of college football when he was a star at Hawaii. I'm John Ramey. So long, everybody.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.